This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Lawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Lister Delaney. So what?
First of all, if we'll go any further, we need to remind people that tickets are on sale now, on general sale, for our November tour, the Velvet Drainpipe Tour, we're calling it. And they are on sale. If you want details, go to tftimemachine.com/live-shows. And all the dates will be there and all the links to the shows we've got. 1st of November, Brighton Comedia Club. 2nd of November, Nottingham Glee Club. 3rd of November, Leeds in a wardrobe, it says here. 4th of November, Liverpool, to be confirmed, because the fucking venue hasn't got back to my emails. That's gone a bit weird. Who knows where we'll be playing.
Same place as last time?
Nope, different place. 5th of November, Manchester Stoller Hall. 7th of November, Glasgow The Stand. 8th of November, Newcastle The Stand. 9th of November, Birmingham Glee Club. 10th of November, London, Leicester Square Theatre. And that is where it will end, unless any others get added to that. I don't think they will. Get your tickets, because they're selling fast.
They're selling fast. I think one of the shows is going to be, excitingly, I'm very excited, our biggest ever show. I think, judging by the venue and the rate at which it's selling at the Leicester Square Theatre,
yeah,
which is the last gig, I'm calling it, of the tour.
A triumphant finale, that'll be.
Yeah, it's a big venue, and it's, yeah, I mean, that is selling fast. I'm excited, but obviously I'm excited about going back to all of the places that we had such a laugh at
on the last tour. Apologies if we haven't come to your town or city or venue.
Yeah, we can't go everywhere.
It just comes down to that we're following the data, as the government like to say.
We do have scientists working for us behind the scenes. We're not just making these decisions on our own.
No,
we have boffins who crunch the numbers and give us advice on that basis. We are provided daily with all sorts of graphs, aren't we?
It's a results bot, let's be honest. But we're pretty.
Why are you
convinced?
Not playing Nottingham on this occasion?
I have booked you in a 3,000 seater theatre in Orkney. You're welcome, Bly. What?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know the promoter. He'll look after you. I owe him a favour.
He is a good lad.
I owe him a favour back from the days when I roadied for the Wonder Stuff in the 90s.
He is a bit of a cunt, but I know him, so it'll be fine.
Big fat cunt, always drinking cider. Bald, but still keeps his hair long at the back. Fucking basket case.
So, yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah, as I say, we've got stats that show us where we've got listeners. And if we're not coming to your place, it's because that's because we haven't got any listeners there. It'll be you.
Also, we've just got stats based on, like, the country. There are large conurbations, urban conurbations, aren't there?
And we've got global stats. I can tell you now, our top five global territories, if you want to call them that. Number one is obviously United Kingdom. Number two, where do you think that might be, Sam?
Republic of Ireland?
Nope. Australia.
Australia. We do get a lot of punters contacting us from down under, yeah.
Number three, United States. That's good to know. Number four is the Republic of Ireland. And number five, just by a whisker, is New Zealand.
Wow. So, well, there is, I can't remember who, but there's at least a couple of countries who contacted us regularly from New Zealand. I think most of these people are expats, aren't they?
Who knows? And then number six, just a few 1,000 listens behind is Canada. So Canada's number 6. So there you go. That's where we're being listened to.
Sometimes we have sort of celebrity listeners, right?
Yeah.
Not something we boast about.
We don't like to go on about it, but yeah, there's quite a lot of celebrity listeners, yeah.
You know Seth Meyer, who is one of the late night chat show hosts in America? You heard of him?
I'm familiar with him, yeah.
So he is a West Ham fan, right?
Right.
And quite proper, avid West Ham fan. He listens to the West Ham podcast I do for The Athletic.
Does he?
And he got in touch, said, I really like listening to your podcast. You know, blah, blah. So we got in some West Ham chat.
Are you sure it's the Seth Meyers?
No, it's definitely him. It's definitely him because he did an interview about it for The Athletic, right?
Right.
I can't remember how he got into West Ham. It was something to do with him playing Edinburgh once years ago and wanting to go to a match while he was in the UK and someone convinced him West Ham's a good place to go. I can't remember the backstory, the origin story, but it's all on The Athletic. So he goes, so we're chatting and he listens like religiously to the U Irons podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I go, oh, it's really cool. And then we were chatting, you know, on Twitter, on DMs, and I said to him in a moment of excitement, because he was being so enthusiastic about you Irons, I went, you should listen to my other podcast. It's really funny. It's called Top Flight Time Machine. Here's the latest episode. We do talk about West Ham in it. And I sent him
Did he reply, this conversation has ended?
It was more or less like that. Because do you know what I sent him? It was the day, it was quite a while ago, because it was the day that we had recorded the episode in which we speculated as to how Bobby Moore had a personal relationship with the River Thames.
Very West Ham heavy, yeah.
And there was that was my angle on sending it to him. I said, you'll like this because it's more comedy than the U Irons podcast, but we still mention West Ham stuff on it, right? Mm. Sent him the link to it. Conversation over, mate.
Oh, fuck. That's one of my favourite ever episodes, that one.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to him. I was excited.
It got almost no response at all on social media when it went out.
And good. I thought, that's
one of my favourite ones ever. And no one seemed to...
I agree. I thought because I really enjoyed it. I thought, oh, this is I'll be really proud to send this to Seth Meyer. What he'll probably do is ring up and say, I want you and Andy to move to Los Angeles immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pull some strings at the network. Mm-hmm. And you are taking the place of James Corden. It's going to be called Top Flight Time Machine Late. And we're going to have Result Spot. We're going to build him. We're going to get Industrial Light and Magic to build an actual Result Spot. You're going to have Level 42 as your house band, because you know they all have a house band, don't they?
Of course, yeah.
You know? And you can just interview whoever you want. Susanna Hoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Jeff Capes.
Yeah.
Whoever.
But he hasn't done that.
That's why I fully said to him, listen, and go, I have unearthed some genius, some genii. But no, he's just like, fucking
genii.
This is weird. No. I just thought I quite liked listening to his sort of West Ham podcast where they just talked about formations and shit like that. And now he's sending me something about Bobby Moore speaking with the River Thames. What? This guy's nuts. He's a nutbag.
Again, that episode just seems to have fucking just alienated everybody, except for us. It's called Fear the Thames. It came out on May 5th.
Put it out again. Keep putting it out. Send it to everyone on IFS, like, 3 or 4 times over the weekend.
Yeah. Until it takes.
Yeah. I've got really high hopes for that episode. I think it's the best episode of any podcast I've been involved in.
Sam, can I ask you something? Yeah. And I want a quick reaction answer from you, from your gut and from your heart at the same time. Would you like to be an Argonaut octopus? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, you would. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Argonaut octopus, which I learned in a tweet yesterday, which, by the way, is going to increasingly become a source of material for this podcast. If we're ever stuck for anything to talk about, we'll just pull a fact from the internet and talk about it. That's what we're going to do now. When a male Argonaut octopus is ready to mate, he lurks in an area where he knows females will be passing by.
Of course.
When a suitable female catches his eye, he responds by removing his detachable penis and flinging it and flinging it in her general
Fuck
direction.
Off. No way.
He then swims off to die.
Fucking hell.
And you said you wanted to be that.
Well, there's some of it does appeal to me. a detachable penis that you can chuck about. Yeah, but at the same time, that sounds very like toxic masculinity throwing your cock about, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that's the kind of the... you do get to fling it about, but then it's like when a bee stings you, the bee then flies off and dies, doesn't
that's
it?
That's so weird you say that. I've just been writing about how bees have to die after they sting you.
Well, there you go. This is what this fella does.
I was writing something today, yeah. And I literally wrote that exact thing about how awful it was for bumblebees, that they had one good skill, which was stinging people.
Yeah,
and as soon as they use that skill, they're dead.
I'm not sure it's their only good skill, to be honest. If you dive a bit deeper into the life of the bee. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, they do more than just sting people.
I know that bees are trendy at the moment, and everyone's like... But, you know, I read a really good quote by David Attenborough the other day about the bees, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he said, the bees know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. If there's too many of them or too little of them, that's for a good reason. And that reason is their business. So, just let them get on with it.
Just let them get on with doing their being.
They're being just being around. About, yeah. And we should stop fucking worrying about it. Because if their numbers are low, that's a natural readjustment.
Right. Okay. What he's basically saying there is he hasn't got a fucking clue.
Yeah. No, he didn't really say that. I actually read that on Clickhole, which is my favourite thing on social media.
Did you see the thing about the Muppets on Clickhole?
I saw the headline. I haven't read it yet.
I'll just read the headline now because it was it's the funniest thing I've seen this week. Where is it? Come here. Where are you? It was from yesterday, wasn't it? They fucking deleted it. Can't find it. Oh, there it is. Teaching respect. The Jim Henson Company has replaced Miss Piggy with a non-violent pig that just wants to suck Kermit off. I almost don't want to read the story.
No, that's you don't enough. Need the story. It's amazing. Len's got really into Clickhole as well. I think
has he?
It's hilariously funny every day. Probably the funniest thing they've ever done, in my opinion, was when they claimed to have got hold of a letter that Richard Nixon had written in the event of Apollo 9 blowing up on its way to the moon.
Yeah,
and they've actually mocked up this letter from Nixon that was apparently in the archives of the White House. Yeah, loads of detail about what happened to them. It is fucking funny.
Just search Clickhole Richard Nixon and you'll find that.
Clickhole on Instagram and Twitter is just the best. Are you looking forward to watching England Scotland tonight, Andy?
I was going to see if you've got anything else you wanted to add about the Argonaut octopus.
Oh, about the Argonaut. Yeah. Well, and as for it going off and dying, I kind of know that feeling, that post-Congress feeling of not, you don't necessarily want to die, but you do think, well, that's me, that I'm done, and I'm quite content.
That's and my I'm, function.
I'm sort of, you feel briefly, because, you know, life can be a struggle. You know, you really every day, you're seeking just small moments where you're at peace and nothing's bothering you, right? Some days it's hard to even capture a few moments like that where nothing's sort of just irritating you, even low-level shit. Do you know what I mean? But if you've just finished some sex, just done it, there is a moment where you sort of think, oh, I'm kind of like chill now. And then the idea of death in a perverse way is quite welcome because you think, well, I might as well check out. This is great. I just want to leave like this because I know that if I lie here for much longer, eventually I'll have to get up, have a shower, you know, or at least a quick wash. Yeah. And then you put your clothes back on. That's just annoying in itself. And then you're like, oh, fucking hell, now I've got to get back to those emails. Or, do you know what I mean? There's something.
Yeah. Something else.
And so the idea that he just lobs his cock at someone and then he thinks, right, that's me done. Might as well go off and have a lovely, die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the French refer to the orgasm as le petit mort.
Yes.
Which means the small death, don't they? The little death.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I tell you what, I don't know where they got that from, but if they're saying that the orgasm is like a little death, imagine the rush of actual death. Big death.
Yeah. like a massive orgasm.
I mean, I saw maybe my that's grandma. Where, maybe that's, I saw my grandma die, and she didn't look like she was enjoying it. Really, she looked scared and panicked. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I was quite pissed because
you weren't confused. You weren't thinking that she might be having an orgasm. Instead.
At the time, no, but now you're making me look back and reassess what I witnessed, because I've tried to put, I try not to think about that moment much, because what it was I was at a Christmas party, my first job, proper grown-up job. It was the first ever Christmas party I'd been to, so it was quite exciting, and it was actually, it's a very memorable day, if you want to hear about the day that my grandmother died, and that now, in retrospect, she may have had an orgasm on her deathbed.
Let's take a small break and then come back to that.
Okay.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jalapeño.
All right, we're back. Please tell us about the day your grandmother died and may have had an
I remember too. She was staying with us because she didn't live full-time at our house. She lived down in Margate, but she was staying with us, you know, in the build-up to Christmas. And I had my first proper job, and it was at Men's Health magazine. And I was just a junior. But that day, because everyone was busy, in the afternoon, it was the Christmas. Mm. You were going to a restaurant for a Christmas lunch and then off like to a bar and then dancing. I was really excited. I thought, wow, that Christmas. I've heard all about office Christmas parties. And today I'm going to actually attend one as a legitimate grown-up employee of a company. It's going to be mad, right? Fucking brilliant.
Did you have any plans to photocopy your arse, for example?
Yeah, I thought all of that shit was going to go down. I thought, I'm going to get really... I was the youngest in the office, right?
Did
and I thought, I'm going to get fucking shit-faced.
Some fingering in the stationery cupboard, perhaps that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a girlfriend, but there I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was just hoping to see everything. Maybe not do everything, but certainly see it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was quite into the idea of seeing two unlikely colleagues getting off of each other, for example.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The male colleague still wearing his suit, but with the bottom of his shirt untucked.
Yeah.
And over, hanging
quite
over
straight,
his trousers.
Someone quite boring from the ad department.
Yeah.
Getting off with the girl from Bort Ledger.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but listen, there was something better about this particular day that makes it extra memorable, aside from that and my grandma dying, is that in the morning I was getting all ready and I was putting on ironing my best shirt. I was still living at home with my mum. My grandma was there and I was ironing my best shirt, and I remember really making an effort, you know, in front of the mirror that morning and dabbing on a bit of me Eau Sauvage and all the rest of it, because prior to the Christmas lunch in the morning, a lot of people were out of the office that day for whatever reason, I can't remember, and there had to be a sort of a casting for a shoot with some sexy ladies. And the head of the art department, who was a woman, had said to me, "Look, I'm not going to be around. I need you to handle this, right?" And I said, "Oh, what do I need to do?" And she said, "It's simple. We've already booked about 10 models. They're all going to come in.
10? Fucking hell.
Right? They'll come in one by one. You walk them into the office, like there was corner office that the editor usually sat in with glass walls like a goldfish bowl, right?
Yeah.
And they will hand you their portfolio. And you will leaf through the portfolio and you'll take down a few of their details, their name, blah, blah, what their availability is, and just ask them a couple of questions, one of which has to be, are you comfortable with being topless, right?
Yeah.
Now, I hasten to add, this was Men's Health. I think, you know, this was not a lad mag, but there were sort of arty shoots in there.
Did Men's Health have topless women in it? Yeah, they did
sometimes. And in fact,
I never bought it because I was never a healthy man, so it was not for me.
They sometimes had more explicit photos than the laddie mags because it was, I mean, I think a good 50% of the readership was gay men. Anyway, we knew that from our own data crunching, right? But because it was considered slightly more serious, adult, sophisticated, whatever.
The numbers. 50%
of your readers are gay. Gay alert. Gay alert.
Not an alert. Hey, results box. No, not an alert. It's fine.
No, it's okay. It's good. He was just alerting us that we had better up our game.
We're a modern
magazine.
Because there
was a lot of gay guys. They go, listen, you're not just fucking publishing this for the usual dopes. These are gay men. They know how to fucking look after themselves, mate. You better fucking do a decent mag here, right? These are men of taste and sophistication. So I am... So anyway, yeah, but they did. They had these sort of arty black and white shoots that like just might have shown a single nipple of a woman, you know, whatever. I don't fucking remember, but I remember thinking, God, this is saucier than the stuff I see in my lad mags that I was reading at the time. And anyway, this succession of, and I was so excited about this, and the succession of models came in and I'm like literally just post-adolescence, really.
Yeah.
Hello, please come in. I could see him thinking, who's this cunt? I thought I was seeing the art director. Please step into my office. Right.
They're giving me the boy from the post room.
Yeah, it was like that. And I was like, may I look at your portfolio? Oh, these are lovely shots. And a lot of them were like, they were topless in the shots. And I'm like sitting opposite this bird. That's a nice photograph of your tits. No, sorry, I didn't say that.
You've got a very pretty face in that one. I'm only looking at your face.
Tell me, what sort of camera did the photographer use for this photograph? I don't know. Oh, it don't matter. I'll look it up. Anyway, do you mind getting your mammary glands out if we ask you to? Not now, of course, unless you want to. But no, it's fine. You don't have to. It was wonderful. And that's the. And I know it sounds awful because I really loved my grandma and I was close to her and it was really horrible when she died later that day. But unfortunately, I cannot separate two things because it was one of those days of great contrast where I woke up tremendously excited thinking, this is great. I'm doing a tit casting all morning. And then in the afternoon, I'm going out on the piss on expenses. It's fucking, this is like a dynamite day I've got lined up.
You could condense it down into the phrase, this is life.
This is life, that's what I thought. I thought, this is what it's been all about. I've got this job, it was my first Christmas having a grown-up job, and I thought, that's living all right. That's what I thought. And yet it ended with me in Charing Cross Hospital, pissed, but, you know, with that sort of sudden shock of adrenaline that immediately sobers you, but very discombobulated. My mum sobbing. Ultimately still pissed. My mum, it's going to be fine. She's going to a better place, mum.
That's what she would have wanted. Oh, well, she's not dead yet. She can still hear me. Oh
sorry, Grandma. I thought you was dead. Sorry, if you can hear me, I'm sorry. But if you are dead and you cannot hear me, then I'm still sorry, but it's not relevant.
Blink twice. Blink twice if you are alive. Blink once if you are dead.
Grandma, stay away from the light, Grandma.
I'll go to it. I'm not sure which one it's meant to be.
Do what you feel, right? You've had a long life. Perhaps this is a sweet release. You'll be together with Grandpa soon enough. Reunited.
In the event of that not happening, would you like anything from the machine? Because I'm just going to go along now. Would you like some Fanta?
I'm going to see if I can rustle up a coffee and a Twix because I think that might help my state of mind. It was. But no, I got there and it was like I had a message on my mobile and then it ran out of battery saying, Grandma's had a stroke. She's in Charing Cross Hospital. And so I thought, fuck, I better jump in a cab. But I then realised out of pissness, I had lost my wallet. And so I walked into a mate's office, not even a good mate, a bloke I knew from West Ham, vaguely. And I realised that his office, I was passing by. So I walked in, is Tommy around, please? He was much older than me, right? And then, yes, who should we say is calling? Let's tell him it's someone he knows vaguely from Upton Park who is currently drunk and needs some money. Right? So he's come out and going, oh, hello, mate, what do you want? I said, my grandmother has had a stroke. I need £20 to get a taxi to Charing Cross Hospital, please. And he just went, all right. Just gave it to him. He couldn't very well say, oh, I don't know about that. It's a bit of a piss take. So I got in the cab and I went there, and I got there just before she started dying. And it was dramatic. It's the only time I've seen, I don't know if you've seen someone die. It's the only time I've seen someone die. And it was pretty dramatic. She seemed pretty like... she, you know, as you would expect, she seemed a bit freaked out. I don't know if she knew what was going on, because by that stage she'd had a stroke, so your brain's probably gone a bit fucked. Mm. You probably lost control of your nut, right? And so hopefully she didn't really understand. But, and I was just, like, comforting my mum, who was a mess, and I was thinking, well, the day of the very titty Christmas has not turned out how I expected it to.
Yeah. It's, like I said, that day began with, this is life, and then ended with, this is death.
This is death. This is death.
And that's what can happen.
But that is life. I mean, you know, in some ways I look back now and I think, I'm not glad my grandma died, but I think that was an important day, a coming of age day. Because it's like, look, you think life's all free beer and tits, but in fact, you know, at any moment, someone could die.
Someone could die. Oh, like an Argonaut octopus, even. It's kind of like exactly. It's kind of like that. The promise
you're
of
going
sex
for a swim,
is
suddenly an octopus cock is chucked at your head, and you look around, and there's an octopus dying behind a rock with a big grin on his face.
It reminds me a bit, when I said there that this is life, it reminds me of that story about Sven-Goran Eriksson when he was Manchester City manager, and he was on a pre-season tour. And he came a lot. They were all sitting by the pool early in the morning, and Eriksson strolls out with a bottle of champagne and a couple of glasses, sits down in a sun lounger next to Didi Haman, and pours them both a glass of champagne. This is like 10 a.m. And Didi Haman says, what are we celebrating, boss? And Eriksson just says, life, Kaiser. We are celebrating life.
There's a man Kaiser. Who really does know how to live. Kaiser. Fucking Sven knows how to live. I tell you what, Sven is on Cameo, right? And
is he?
I think he's charging something like £50, which I think is well worth it.
Fucking
I mean,
hell.
I sometimes feel like getting ones as gifts just to myself.
Yeah.
Just keep pretending I know someone called Sam Delaney and that it's like his birthday or he needs cheering up. But really, I'm just paying for it for myself so I can have a video of Sven-Goran Eriksson on my phone saying something nice to me that I can watch whenever I'm feeling blue. Because that would be a good sort of, you know.
You could get it done. Is there a thing on Gmail now where you can program an email of when it's going to get sent? You can like pre-time it.
Yeah, I think so.
Surely there must be.
I want a future gift to myself.
Yeah, you get it done and then forget about it. And then on your birthday, this email arrives with the greeting from Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Sven-Goran Eriksson, I hear you are 47 today. Very well done. By the pool, that puts me in mind something I can't remember if I told you, is that do you remember that briefly Gianluca Vialli became manager of Watford, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. But it was like Vialli had had his time at Chelsea where he was actually quite successful. And then I think he just fucked off. I don't know who he managed in Italy. And then he came back briefly at Watford and he appointed Ray Wilkins as his assistant. Ray Wilkins, who I knew pretty well, right? He sort of became a mate, prior to his death, as opposed to after his death.
Yeah, another one that's gone.
I'm not saying I'm friends with the ghost of Ray Wilkins.
Well, that'd be something, right, though, wouldn't it?
I've captured the ghost of Ray Wilkins in a little jar.
Anyway, the jar for a chat now and again. Yeah, sorry, continue.
The thing about Ray Wilkins was, and Gianluca Vialli, I'm told, is that they loved La Dolce Vita, right? They lived. Ray Wilkins' life changed forever after his spell in Italy because he totally became enamoured forever, right, with the Italian lifestyle.
Yeah.
Great wine, great food, sunshine, beautiful things. That's what it was all about. Anything else is just the periphery that you do to facilitate your enjoyment of that life.
The assistant at Watford.
Right, exactly. Right, so they go on the pre-season tour, but as a result of them being so laid back and fun, right, and immersed in pleasure and joy, there was an element of the squad at Watford who regarded them as, who certainly regarded Vialli as a bit lazy, right?
Not entirely because serious about his job.
It was a this and that approach to management, which can work. I always think Claudio Ranieri had a this and that approach, and he won the fucking league at Leicester. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? So it was this and that management. And anyway, there is a story that they're both lying asleep by the pool, both of them in their Speedos, Ray and Gianluca, on this fucking summer, this away trip somewhere, or like this training camp. And the players are like, where the fuck are they? I thought we were training. So they're literally having to look for the management team. And they find them both kipping by the pool, two bald men. Right, who look like alarmingly similar when they're both just lying there in swimmers, right, on a lounger. And so one of the players was one of these lads who had a legendarily large penis. Ooh. Right? I think it was Hitchcock, the goalie. Okay. Remember that? Was it Kevin Hitchcock?
Kevin Hitchcock, yeah.
Apparently Hitchcock he had a massive... Yeah, big cock. That's what they say. Hello, sweetheart. Kevin Hitchcock. Hitchcock by name, big cock by nature.
It's so big, I can hit your fucking lift with it. Watch this.
Anyway, this story has not got a particularly witty ending, really, but all I remember, because it's such a striking image, is that the players were so sort of like amused, but also kind of annoyed, but ultimately amused by the fact that they were both kipping by the poolside, that Kevin Hitchcock got his cock out, squatted down behind Vialli, and lay his cock down the bridge of his nose. So it just looked like he was a bonobo monkey. You know those monkeys that have long noses? They always, the baddies in Tintin always have noses like that, that look like big knobs. And then they all like took a photo because Vialli didn't even wake up. He was just lying there with Kevin Hitchcock's knob on his face.
They think he didn't wake up. Or did he?
This is, I awake. What's this? Smells like a cock. Fine. Like the boys are just cock. Sounds like the boys. Feels like the boys are just having a bit of fun. Good for them. It's good for team spirit.
Bit of cock fun. Bring it on.
Put the cock on my face whenever you want, boys, as long as you turn up on match day.
Right, there's a match about to start, so let's get on with this. Predictions we've got. Latest update, you've got 7 points, I've got five points, result spot's got fucking 11 points. We're getting humiliated at this tournament. So with that in mind, here we go. England versus Scotland. What do you reckon?
3-1 England.
Fucking hell. I think 1-1.
Okay.
Sweden versus Slovakia, which I think is the one that's about to start now. I'm going to go for 2-1 Sweden.
I think I might go 2-1 Slovakia.
Okay. Portugal versus Germany.
What a game.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2-1 Portugal.
2-1 Portugal. I think this will be 2-2.
Wow.
Hungary versus France. I think that will be 1-0 to France.
I hate to say this because my lad is wearing his Hungary shirt and supporting Hungary all the way through this tournament. But he can't hear me, so I'm going to say 3-0 France.
Fuck it.
Sorry.
Hell. And finally, Switzerland
versus...
Sorry
to the mighty Magyars.
Switzerland versus Turkey.
Switzerland versus Turkey. I think that's 2-0 Switzerland.
2-0 to Switzerland. I think that will be 2-1 to Turkey.
Oh.
That is it from the predictions and from the episode. Thanks very much. Enjoy your weekend of football. Don't forget to get your Top Flight Time Machine live tickets on sale now, and we'll see you there in November. The world is a stage, you fuckers.
Put your cock on my face. What? That's my new catchphrase. Aye, aye, Sam Delaney here. Put your cock on my face.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.